This morning, we're going to do, before we're jumping back into our sermon series on the incomparable Jesus, I thought it'd be appropriate to ask the question and address the idea of 2021. And how should we as Christians view this coming year? I saw one of my friends on Facebook as a pastor, and he depicted a picture of 2020 being a building fire, right? And in the picture, it was a cartoon. This woman was jumping out of 2020. It was on fire, and she was jumping out of it from like seven stories up. And the firemen were down below holding one of those, you know, proverbial trampolines. That doesn't work, by the way, in real life. But they were holding it and like, come on, jump. And she was jumping out. And as she jumped, she bounced. And then there was another building on the other side, and it was on fire. And she bounced from 2020, and she bounced into 2021. That was on fire, you know? And it just was like, yep, that feels about right, like how this year has started so far, especially with what happened Wednesday. We're just like in horror, like what in the world is happening to our country? Is this what we can expect for this coming year? You know, I think most of us, we've said we start out 2020 and we're like, this is going to be the year of clarity, right? It's going to be the year of vision. It's going to be the year like where everything is just set right. And, you know, we're going to like kick butt, take names, and we're just going to go for it. And then like, oh my gosh, just felt like one thing after another, after another, after another, right? And I would say, and myself included, a lot of us feel like, well, 2021, what are we supposed to like do with this? How should we respond? How should we go through the door, so to speak? You know, every time I walk through a door with opportunity and excitement and hope in my heart, it just gets squashed every time. And so I'm kind of learning like, no, you just don't do that anymore. What you do is you walk in really like eggshells, right? And you're like, just nobody say anything. Don't stir the pot. Don't wake the dogs, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. Let's just go into 2021 and pretend like everything's going to be okay. And is that how we should view this year? I don't know. I don't think so. As a Christian, I really have been wrestling through that because in my flesh and in my fear and in my anxieties and in my frustrations, all of these things, looking at social media, all this, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just going to be maybe possibly worse than last year. I mean, really, to be honest, there's no guarantee that just because, you know, December 31st came and the next day, January 1st happens, like all of a sudden, like we just hit the reset button. Like, you know, in Lost, I don't know if you watch Lost, but there was this timer that would get down. The closer they get to the timer, if you don't hit the reset, the whole island's going to explode. And so now it's 2021, we hit the reset button, it's like, oh, thank God, the pressure. No, the pressure still feels like it's mounting and it's still bubbling and everyone's on the edge. And it's like, what do we do? I think, as Christians, and Zach so wonderfully helped even us this morning, understand there is an objective way to view this year. You know that? There is, for a Christian, there is an objective way that we should be responding or actually walking. If there was a door that we could kind of, like, let's say that door over here is 2020. We left it, and now we're in this, like, okay, we're heading, and that 2021's there. But in this in-between of walking toward it, do we tippy-toe, or do we walk all bold and brash and be like, watch out, you know? Or how should we actually go through the door? I think, Christians, we have an answer to that. And let me give us, the way I want to answer that this morning is I want to give us three truths of who God is. See, how you answer how you live your life, really, really this message is not even just for 2021. Can I say that this morning? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It's not just a sermon because the year has turned and we're asking ourselves, because last year seemed really bad, what does this year hold for us? Actually, this sermon, what I want to encourage us this morning is for the rest of your life. This is for until God comes back or either you go home in glory, and these truths about who God is, they will never change. And so for us who are Christians, we can put our hope, we can put our feet down firmly on the foundation of the character of God. And in these truths, we not only walk into 2021, but we also continue into 2022 and 2023 and 24 and so on and so on. And every moment in between of every part of our lives, we say, God, I'm able to answer how I live my life based on not whether I win or lose, which Zach said, not whether the politics go my way or don't, not whether my 401k has this amount or whatever your circumstance. See, the truth of how we live our lives needs to be based on the truth of who God is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now we really need Mike on the piano. All right, so we're going to run out of time. I just know it. So let's just get into it. So the first truth I want us to understand this morning and for the rest of our lives and into 2021 is that God is faithful.
Yes.
All right, God is faithful. C.S. Lewis really helps us answer this in his Chronicles of Narnia. And there's this character named Lucy. If you've never read him, there's this little girl named Lucy, and she comes from the English world, and she goes through a closet, and on the other side of the closet is this magical, mystical fantasy world with talking animals, and there's wars going on. It's kind of like a Lord of the Rings. It's not as good as the Lord of the Rings, all right? But it's kind of like that. And this little girl named Lucy, she has this interaction with a lion named Aslan. And Aslan, the lion, is what we could all agree, if you've read these, really represents Christ, represents God, his authority, but yet his lovingness. And this is an interaction between Lucy and Aslan. As Lucy utters the spell, remember, it's fantasy world, we're not talking about witchcraft here, don't freak out. As Lucy utters the spell to make hidden things visible from the magician's book, Aslan appears to her once again. Poof. Lucy is taken aback by his assertion that she had a part to play in making him visible.
Let me read this again. Are you ready?
Let's start over. Lucy is taken aback by his assertion that she had any part to play in making Aslan visible. "It did," said Aslan. "Do you think I wouldn't obey my own rules?" So let me just explain to you what's happening. Here, Lucy's got this little magic book, and she's able to make the things that are invisible visible, and she makes a spell, and all of a sudden Aslan appears to her. But in her speaking the spell and the book that tells her this is what will happen, she is still somehow a little bit flabbergasted that Aslan appears when he said he would. And he's like, "Well, why wouldn't I? I keep my own rules. The promises I say, I keep them. Lucy, why are you even taken aback by that? See, you should have been more taken aback if I didn't appear." And I think that as we head into 2021, as we head into the rest of our lives, often what we do is we say in our head, and maybe sometimes we feel it in our hearts, but we don't take action in the faithfulness of God. We say, "God, you're faithful." We sing songs like, "I will sing of the goodness of God," right? For a moment that feels so real to us because all the emotions are happening, the music's happening, the words are happening, but then we walk out of the door and we forget the faithfulness of God. And when God shows himself faithful, we freak out and go, "Oh my gosh, God was faithful." As if he could be anything else. The testimony, you guys, from Genesis all the way to Revelation is the faithfulness of God. There is not one part of Scripture that you can find anywhere where God is like caught off guard, sleeping, or he forgets about the promises that he says. There's no example anywhere in all of Scripture where somebody beseeches God and God's like, "Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I forgot about you."
Oh, I'm sorry, you know, the thing I said that I would do, I totally just missed it. You ever have those days where, like, I remember I was supposed to be at a meeting with a bunch of elders, and, you know, I'm like, I don't know, last time I did this, we were picking up, this is when our kids actually went to school. We were sitting in line waiting to pick up our kids, and I'm getting a call from Alan, and Alan's like, where are you? And I'm like, well, I'm not picking up my kids from school. And he's like, you're supposed to be in an elders meeting. And I'm like, you're right. Please forgive me. See, God doesn't do that. God's not like, oh, I got distracted, and I forgot about the things that I said I would be true to who I am. So you know what? You probably should freak out every once in a while, because you never know. You never know when I'm not going to be faithful. That's not true of who our God is. You could take that to the bank. God will be faithful every single day, every single year, every single month, every single decade, every single century, every single second, every single millisecond, every single breath that you take, every single time that you lay your head down on the pillow, every single time that something comes your way and starts shaking its fist at you and telling you, you better not believe in the faithfulness of God. God will be faithful. This is what Scripture has to say about it. Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are what? They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's why such a beautiful hymn was written, because of this verse. And if you've grown up in church, you know exactly what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. So what does that mean? God says a promise, God makes a commitment to you, and it's not because of circumstances that we're able to say yes about that. It's not because we somehow partnered with God to make that happen. It's not somehow that somehow just circumstantially the what God had said, it kind of just nebulously worked itself out. No, it's because God had said it, and in God saying the truth about who he is, and he cannot change his character, and he never will, he brings it about because he's faithful, and our yes and amen is because God is true to himself. Thank you. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And that word amen means so be it. Some contrary other stuff we've heard lately. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? For he cannot deny himself. Lucy, why are you surprised that I would do what I said I would do? Even when we are faithless, even when we sin, even when we say, yes, God, I'll do whatever it takes. I will follow you to the ends of the world. And we deny him three times as the rooster crows. And then we think because we somehow were faithless and others were faithless to us, this is how we experience our world. Well, people let you down. Systems let you down. Politicians let you down. Teachers let you down. Parents let you down. Brothers let you down. Sisters let you down. The church lets you down. All of these things which do let us down, we somehow take these experiences and we attribute them to God. And God says, even when you, even when the world is faithless, I will be faithful. How you doing? How do we put this into our real lives? Well, I mean, just, I was thinking about this morning. The one thing I think we can take and say, when Jesus goes, hey, guess what, disciples? And he's speaking that to us too. He'll say things like, I will never leave you or forsake you. Is this life going to be hard? Yes, it will. I'm not promising you, hey, follow me and like everything's going to be super nice and easy and all your problems will just magically melt. No, it's actually going to be probably harder. You're going to be hated by people because they hate me. But guess what? I've overcome all of that And not only did I just overcome that from a distance for you, I've overcome that and I will be with you to the end of the age. And so for you and I, as we leave our doors this morning and we go about our business for the rest of the week until we come back here or doing whatever it is, we say, Jesus, thank you that you are with me every moment, every day, every waking breath, and you are faithful. And nothing will change that. Number two. Okay, so God is faithful, but what if something or someone gets in the way of God's faithfulness, right? Okay, Kelly, I hear what you're saying. I've heard that before in church, and I've understood that, but I've experienced circumstantially sometimes where it feels like God's not being faithful to me. If God was faithful, then why does he allow things to happen? Why did I get sick? Why did my money go down the drain? Why did my relationship, all of these things? And while Jesus says, yes, you will have troubles, God is still faithful, but what if something gets in God's way? What if God means to be faithful, but something overcomes God? Can that happen? Well, that's a question sometimes we ask ourselves, and I would say no, because why? God is invulnerable. God is invulnerable. What does that mean? I tried to think of a word this week, and what most theologians would say is God is impassible. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? Well, impassibility of God means that he's not affected by emotions. And so what some theologians have done is says because God is impassible and he's not subject to emotions, he's not emotional. And so God never feels. And so I don't think that's true about who God is. I think God has emotions. We see that in Scripture. But is he swayed? Is he deterred by those things? No. And so I think really for us to understand how we walk into 2021 and as we walk into confidence into the rest of our days, we need to understand that while God is faithful, he's invulnerable. Now, this invulnerability means that God doesn't patina. You know what patina is? You ever seen like a copper roof that they put on a building? And like, here's a good example. The Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty is not really green. Did you know that? Blew your mind. It wasn't given to us from France painted green. Why is it green? Because what has happened over the years and years of weather has affected the metal that it's built out of. And it starts turning green, starts eroding, and the metal interacts with all the chemicals in the air, and it acts with the rain and the coldness and the hotness and all this stuff, and it starts to patina, and it gets this look on it. But see, God does not patina. God is not subject to anything or anyone. That should be good news to you guys. Because here's the thing. God is this perfect, if we were going to use the Statue of Liberty, he's this perfect statue that as he was, now God was not built. Please do not, I'm not speaking heresy here this morning. Please don't freak out on me. But I'm trying to use this as an illustration so we understand. See, from the beginning, God was and God is still and God will continue to be completely all of who he is all of the time, and that will not be diminished or increased, and in things of the world and circumstances and the attacks of the enemy and our sin and our acceptance of God, all of the elements of the universe cannot change God one tiny, 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 tiny ounce. When God says, I will stand and I will be resolute, God stands and he will be resolute. When God says, I am faithful, he stands and he is faithful. No matter how, you know, it's like a giant rock in the ocean. No matter how many times a wave comes and beats against that rock, the Rock of Gibraltar, right? It stands and it'll be there for eternity. Now, that's a bad example because even a wave weathers the rock and you see erosion. God does not erode. God does not erode. Nothing can stop God's will. This is what Martin Luther said. He wrote this hymn, and it was actually a song that they would sing in bars. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to take that song, and I'm going to take that bar song, the beer swinging song, and I'm going to make it a song about God. And this is what he says. It's a song called Mighty Fortress is Our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Yes, the enemy is real. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him, his rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure, one little word shall fell him. Isn't that good? A mighty fortress is our God. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond our measure. Isaiah 40, 28 through 29 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Remember that song we used to sing? You are the everlasting God. This is where we get this. The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Guys, how should we come into 2021? How should we view this year? How should we view the rest of our lives? Should we just walk on eggshells for the rest of our lives? No, because our God is faithful, because our God is invulnerable. And when we put our hope in something that's invulnerable, that is not subject to the elements, we know that when we run into a strong tower, it will stay secure and its foundations will never move. So for the rest of your lives, you can know that God is true of who he is, and he will be the only strong tower that you should ever run to. This should give us confidence. This should give us confidence as we go into this year. It's not like, oh, okay, I just want to let everything kind of fall in place. No, like we still carry the presence of God with us. We are still called to be salt and light into the world. We are still called, no matter what this year brings, to make disciples of Jesus. That is our calling, and that will never change, not just because the circumstances don't change or do change. That will never change because our God doesn't change. And our confidence should never change because our God doesn't change. Could you imagine if we had a fickle God? Then we should act like how we act. If our God was fickle, we should freak out. If our God was fickle, we should live in fear. If our God was fickle, we should always be like, okay. Number three. Okay, so God's faithful. And he's invulnerable, and nothing can change God. Nothing can be a thorn in God's flesh. Nothing can kind of twist God's arm. Nothing can catch him off guard. He's resolute. But what if he doesn't care? What if he's just kind of like aloof and far away, and I am God, and I do not change, and but he doesn't care about me? These are questions that kind of go through our heads. Well, let me encourage you this morning that God is not indifferent. Just because he's strong and just because he is faithful and just because he's immutable, which is another one we could talk about. He doesn't change and nothing changes him. Just because those are true of God, it doesn't mean that he's far and distant and aloof and not aware of us and indifferent about us. This is what Psalm chapter 56, verse 8 says. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? What a beautiful verse. To think about the creator of the universe and the stars and the absolute power and majesty of God. We're too quick to like humanize God, right? But if we really think about, you ever get out in the desert, you go out to Joshua Tree and get away from the light pollution, and you start to see the Milky Way, and you're like we just did a trip to Yosemite, and I've been there 3 times, and every time I go to Yosemite Valley, I'm still every time like, what? Like how is this like giant granite just shooting out of the earth like this? And to think about how much weight is there and how this was formed, and then in God in a moment just said, let there be Yosemite. Poof. And Yosemite appeared. And you go, wow, a God like that must be really not involved in my life because he's so big and grander. And then you have a verse like Psalm 56, verse 8 that says, God sees when I'm tossing and turning in my bed at night because I'm fearful or stressed out or things of life are getting to me. God keeps my tears in a bottle. And he writes it down in his book and he says, hey, you know, I saw when you were freaked out about this situation. And yes, I did with a word speak Yosemite, and all of a sudden these grand granite rocks just. But I also am right here with you in your bed. I'm right here with you. I see those tears. I don't just see the tears, the physical. I see what's going on in your heart. I feel your pain. I understand that. Luke 12, 6 through 7 says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Just these little, like, little birds, not really worth much. Not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. No matter how many or how lot you have, they're still numbered. Fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. God takes care of these little birds that try to take the French fries out of your hand when they fly by and you're eating outside. And they're only just worth a couple pennies, but you're worth so much more. And God sees those things, but he sees you even more. Psalm 34, verse 17 through 18 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. You could take that to the bank, unless the Bible's lying. I don't think it is. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. God, you're so big, you're faithful, and nothing can get to you. What if you're just not really aware of me? You know, I wasn't really born in this amazing family that has this huge pedigree, and nobody really knows me. I only have like 5 friends on Facebook, and you know, when I tweet, no one likes it, and you know, I'm just a nobody. And God says, see, all that stuff's stupid. Nobody looks at that anyway. It doesn't matter. It's not going to last. I see everything. I see you specifically. I created you specifically. And what I want you to know me for who I am. I want you to know that I'm faithful. I want you to know that nothing can hurt me. Nothing can, like, the things that I've said that I will do, nothing can, like, shift me off course a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, looking over here, and you're like, God, I'm back over here. Oh, yeah. No, see, nothing, that won't happen. I'm always have my eyes on you. I'm always here for you. And I want you to know that, because the things that I've set aside for you, the things that I've called you to do, how you are to make disciples, the things that I've called you to walk in confidence, the things of victory that you have in this life because I've afforded it to you through the cross of Christ, I want you to know those things. I want you to walk in them. I don't want you to doubt. I don't want you to fear. I don't want you to have anxiety. I don't want you to like walk on eggshells as you walk through 2021. I want you to be confident in your identity as you put it in me. I want you to know that I will be here for you every single moment of every single day, of every breath that you take. God, see friends, God is this character of God. Let me say it this way. God is all of who he is all of the time. Okay? So God doesn't like grow in one aspect so that and then he has to put down another aspect of who he is in order to grow in this faithfulness. Well, if God's going to be really faithful, then maybe he needs to increase in that, and he's going to let go of his invulnerability a little bit here, or vice versa, or whatever it is. No, see, God is 100% of all of who he is all of the time. And so no matter what your circumstance is, God is who he is. Remember when Moses met God at the burning bush? He says, who are you? And who should I tell Pharaoh is sending me? I understand you're the God, but like, what's your name? Like, if he asks me, and God says, I am. I am. And in that I am is everything. I am the answer. I am your security. I am the one who fights for you. I am the one who sees you. I am faithful. I am invulnerable. I am, I am, I am, I am. And it will never change. Oh my gosh, we have 3 minutes left. The problem is, it's really what Jesus talks about when he tells his disciples, hey, don't build your life on this sandy shore. Anybody, if you put your hope in all of your circumstances, see, life is kind of like a house. And what will happen, it's guaranteed that wind will come, rain will come, floods will come. And if you have not built your life, if you have not, let me say it this way, built your walking into 2021 or into the rest of your days on the firm foundation of the rock of the identity of who God is, what will happen is when the storms come, and they will come, you will find that your house will fall down. Because why? Your foundation was not on the truth of God's faithfulness or his invulnerability, or that he's not indifferent to us. Your faith was based on your circumstances. See, when sunny days are here, we're like, man, life is good. How you doing? My life is good, right? Everything is amazing. But when the storms come, what do? Yeah, it might shake a little bit, but nothing can knock that house down because of foundation is on God. So let me end it with this, guys. Daniel 11:32 says this. Zach quoted this for us. But the people of God, who know their God, shall stand firm and take action. Let me say it again. But the people of God, who know their God, shall stand firm and take action. Why did I start this verse with the word but in it? See, in the previous part of this portion of Scripture, you see a group of people who are living for themselves, who are living in fear, who are living other than in the foundation of who God is. And what the book of Daniel does here in this chapter is it says, but you, Southlands Chino, if you know who God is, what? It says here, you shall stand firm. And not just stand there and be like, you shall also march forward and take action in the things that God has called you to do. This can only be accomplished when we know
who our God is. If we, I like the way the King James says it. The first time Natalie. It says, those who know their God shall be great or strong and do great exploits for him. What a great word. Be strong and do great exploits for him. When we know our God, we have great boldness for God. So, like, if we want to go continue with the book of Daniel, Daniel is told by the king Darius, hey, do not pray. If you pray, I'm going to kill you. I'll wipe you out. I don't like that praying. What does Daniel do? I'm going to pray. Oh, by the way, I'm going to pray 3 times a day. Oh, by the way, I'm going to open up my window so everybody can see me pray. Why? Was Daniel just going, na, 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 na? No, he wasn't doing that. He was being bold because he knew who his God was, and God had called him to pray. It wasn't based on whether he was going to die or not. Some of us here this morning are, well, I can't do this because this is happening. It wouldn't be wise. Was it wise for Daniel to pray? Probably not, because he could have died. But his confidence wasn't in his own life. His confidence was in God. The apostles said they must obey God rather than men. The same kind of thing. They're saying, hey, stop preaching about this Jesus guy. He's messing up our synagogue rules, all the things you're telling the people to do. Now it's like screwing everything up. We don't like it. And if you keep preaching about Jesus, we're going to put you in jail. Paul says, or Peter says, whether it's better to obey you or God, you decide. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to obey God. Paul says in Acts 20, 24, he says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's what we're called to do. So when we know our God, 2021, how do we walk through the doors of 2021? Boldly. It's not like, I'm bad. Watch out, everybody. No, not that kind of like arrogant mentality, like, boom, kick down the door. What's up? No, it's like I walk through confidently, my face set like flint, the Bible says, hard stone that can't be turned left or right. Nothing distracts me. Nothing freaks me out. Nothing. Because why? I see God. And as I walk forward, I see his faithfulness. As I walk forward, I see his invulnerability. As I walk forward, circumstances like, hey. Nope. God, you see me. God, you see me. I'm walking towards you confidently. I'm going to kill you. That's fine. Because my ultimate hope is not in this life now. My ultimate hope is in glory. So not only do we have great boldness, last thing here is we have great contentment in Christ. You know, we could wrap it up in this word called shalom. This is a Jewish word for peace. And we often think of the word peace as the absence of chaos or destruction. I just want to go on vacation. I want to go by a river where there's not another human being because I want peace. I'm going to turn off my Instagram, my Twitter, my TikTok, my Facebook because I don't want to see how everyone hates each other. I'm going to turn it off because I want peace. Yes, and please do that. By the way, we're going to start a fast in February, and one of the things we're going to encourage you as elders, I'm going to call for an all-media fast. All right? Not just Facebook, not just TikTok, not just Twitter, not just Instagram, not just blah, 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 all these things. But I'm going to say, guys, let's turn off Netflix. Let's turn off Amazon Prime. Let's just get rid of it all. And lo and behold, let's pray. Let's read Scripture. Where was I going? Shalom. Shalom. Shalom's not just like not bad things happening. Shalom is in the midst of bad things happening. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I have a shalom about me. It goes everywhere I go. And it's not this metaphysical, holy, you know, like I'm like making this manifest. If I get in the right chakra, all that junk. No, what it is, it's the peace of God being poured into my heart, coming from where? Me knowing God is faithful. Me knowing God is invulnerable to anything. Me knowing that God is not indifferent to me. And so as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the shalom of God is inside me. And this is how Paul ends it. I rejoiced, Philippians chapter 4 says, verse 10, in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty. I have learned the secret. Where am I? I can't find it. The secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Yet, what does he say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those who know their God will be great, will be strong, and do great exploits. Friends, being content is a great exploit. How do we walk through 2021? Fear? Freaked out? Is this year going to be worse? It might. Honestly, I really do hope it's better. But there's no guarantee. There isn't. So what are we going to do? We're not subject to this world, guys. We're subject to the King of Kings. I forgot to read this. Dang it. Mike O'Brien, it's your fault. This is what my friend Mike O'Brien says. For my Christ-following friends, we do not have the luxury of being anything but expectant and hopeful about the future. Let the scriptures and prayer inform your soul. And to that I say, amen. Will you guys stand with me this morning?